Hey family, Mello here, pastoral resident at Mosaic, and wow, we've been living in some very unique times in our world right now. But we know that none of this catches God by surprise, and as difficult as it may seem, even in this moment, we know that God is with us, and it's because of that truth that we are super excited for what we have for you today. And we're just grateful that you're able to join us right now on this platform. Now, if you have any children, man, we have some incredible content available for them on our website. And so feel free to use that now and watch this gathering whenever it's most convenient for you. If you have any students, man, feel free to make this a family affair. We'd love for our students to be able to participate with us during this time. Right now, I'm just going to remind us of last week's message in Isaiah chapter 40 as we prepare our hearts and minds for God's word today. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28, it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not be faint." I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can gather in this platform. Lord, we are excited to be able to read your word today and to celebrate who you are. We're thankful for who you are and for all that you're doing, even in these times. And we love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Center my life on your name. today, here and now, hear the sound of your name. Jesus, there is none more beautiful than Jesus. There is none more powerful. The risen Christ lifted high. Jesus, now be glorified. The risen Christ lifted high. Jesus, now be glorified. Jesus, there is none more beautiful than Jesus. There is none more powerful. Risen Christ lifted high. Jesus, now be glorified. Center my life on your name. Oh, center my life on your name.
Letting go, you hold all things.
it's for you, Jesus. Every moment's for you, Jesus. Every moment's for you, Jesus. Creation suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues to lift one cry. Well, then from north to south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Were the whole earth echoing his eminence, his name would burst from sea and sky. Well, then from rivers to the mountain tops, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Christ be magnified, let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified, the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Every creature finds its inmost melody, and every human heart its native cry. Oh, in one rapture of praise, we'll see Christ be magnified. Christ be magnified, the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me.
May that be our prayer, that in us and through us, Christ would be lifted up, Christ would be magnified. He'd be glorified, he'd be honored. We'd set our gaze on him. Fix our eyes on him. Turn our hearts towards him.
Sing this. I won't bow to idols. I stand strong and worship you. If it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice because you're there too. And I won't be formed by feelings. I hold fast to what is true. Cross brings transformation, and I'll be crucified with you. Cause death is just a doorway to resurrection life. If I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory, for the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing. My soul will be saved. Oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified, the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Be magnified, Jesus. Be glorified.
Well, good Sunday, church. So good to be with all of you guys this Sunday, and so excited about what we are going to get to travel through today. I can't begin to tell you the things I am going to get to share with you today that I think is going to shape in so many ways how we enter this next week, and frankly, how we enter this next month, whatever the circumstances may be, and how we enter our lives from here on forward. So some really, really cool stuff. Last week, as you all remember, an order came out, an executive order, from the Orange County governmental spaces, and it said that for a period of time until April 9th, we are going to be staying home. And it was an interesting kind of time in the week. I was on social media, and I saw the little square that came out from Orlando Sentinel, the stay-at-home order, and then it kind of gave what you can and cannot do. You guys may remember it, and it said, you know, what you can do is go to the grocery store, go to medical appointments, go to restaurants for takeout, care for family members, take walks, ride bikes, jog, exercise outside. On the executive order, it said play golf, do things like that. And I was reading it, and this was the post that I put on Facebook. Here's what I said. I took a bit of a chance because, you know, it's a strange time. But I took this chance because it was just so obvious to me. I said, today, they put out a stay-at-home order through April 9th for Orange County. You have to stay home so you are not permitted to go to work by order of the government. You will be only permitted to leave the home if you're going to go shopping, go pick up coffee or takeout, ride your bike, take walks, play golf, rollerblade, jog, or generally want to hang out outside in the beautiful weather or hang out with close family. You can also stay home and eat, watch movies, read, or even nap. Anybody else feel like you've just been set free? I'm just saying. And then I put silver lining in difficult times just to make sure that nobody thought I was insensitive to some of the realities that we're in. I shared that post because so much of this time when on one hand there are these really big heavy things happening also lends itself to this thought process that causes us to go, maybe this is a really good opportunity to slow down a bit, to take a breath, to rest some. So this idea of Sabbath, this word that is used in the scripture for ceasing or for rest, has really just been on my heart and mind a lot over the last couple of days. Because I have been asking myself, what does it look like for us to take this unfortunate set of circumstances and to really redirect them, to understand them as an opportunity for us as Christ followers to do some things that in our regularity of life we really don't get to do easily. We are obviously called by God, commanded by God, to engage in Sabbath rhythms, in regularity in our normal lives. But it seems like in a culture that moves fast constantly, this opportunity has just kind of been afforded us. It's just like, here, you got to stay home from work and you got to relax. I mean, I'm like, wow. So here's the trouble, right? The reason I think it's hard to think about this whole time as a great opportunity to rest and chill is because that resting, that stopping, that forced sabbatical or that forced Sabbath comes with a high price, doesn't it? It comes with a high price for all of us. It comes with the anxiety of why we have a stay-at-home order. We have a stay-at-home order because there's a pandemic, a virus moving across our planet that is dangerous to some and concerning to all. And so that creates like, gosh, I'm not staying home because it's a fun vacation. I'm staying home because it's a danger to people out there. And then the staying home creates a space in which income is lessened, jobs are potentially lost, many have already. The future is uncertain, the economic implications are large. Then there's a sense of isolation, so you can't hang out with your friends, or more importantly, for those of you that have children, your children can't have play dates, so they drive you totally insane, trying to suck the life out of your soul. I have no personal experience in that. Actually, yes, I do. So all of those realities are what make this feel like, yeah, that's great, Renaud, that you would say, take this opportunity to really rest and to cease and to stop and to Sabbath. But I don't feel in any way, shape, or form like I can do that, even though I actually have the time to do it now. And for many of you, I understand, even that's challenging, right? Because I have the time to do it now, but I feel busier than ever because I'm trying to manage 50 things now, including home and kids and life and family and fears and anxieties. And so the whole idea of Sabbathing is just difficult in this time, even though we have this unique opportunity for it. But when we understand what Sabbath's purpose really is in Scripture, I would argue that it actually becomes the thing that more than perhaps anything makes sense for a time like this. Its full purpose starts reminding us and showing us that there is no better time to engage in the way of Sabbath than right now in these circumstances, because when we understand the full purpose of Sabbath, we will understand that it's not only something that gives us space for rest, but it is something that actually gives us a tremendous reason for hope and a tremendous reason for trust, which is what we need more than anything else in times like these. You see, typically, when we start thinking about Sabbath, we go back to Genesis and realizing its origin, we begin to understand it primarily as a reason for us to rest because we can't sustain if we don't. So you remember God created all of creation in a period of six movements or 6 days, six spaces. And so as he created those different realities in each of those days, when he came to the end of the sixth day, and it says the sun rose and the sun set on the sixth day, we walk into the seventh day because it took 7 days to finish the work of creation, except that the work of creation was finished on the sixth day. On the seventh day, it says that God rested. God stopped. And so we have often understood that, and rightly so, that God rested not because he needed to rest, but because he wanted to make sure that we understood that we needed to rest. That when we have worked for 6 days, that we need to rest on the seventh, because the sustainability of us as humans requires us to come to a stopping or a ceasing or a resting. Now, that is certainly part of the purpose of Sabbath, and part of the purpose of God resting is to demonstrate a pattern of rest for us. But the reality is that the bigger story of Sabbath begins to tell us a bigger story of hope than we could ever imagine about why God chose on that seventh day to stop. It wasn't just about rest, as in me getting some rest. It was actually about what God was declaring about his creation and the intent of his creation and our story in it, what we were recipients of by his creation. He was saying on the seventh day, listen, the reason I made all of this is so that in its completeness, you could enjoy each other and enjoy me and enjoy all of creation forever. The seventh day is the ongoing day of completeness that God was declaring to the world. Now, as I say that to you, you're like, huh, what do you mean? As usual, there is a ministry called the Bible Project that just in ways that are so phenomenal are able to capture these realities of explaining the complexities and beauty and layers and fullness of things like Sabbath in a way that I've seen few do. So what I want you to do right now is sit back, relax, and take a minute, actually five, and watch this video. It will explain to you in such beauty the deeper purpose of Sabbath beyond simply the idea of you need rest. And I will come back and explain to you how that clarity helps us understand why Sabbathing over the next couple of weeks is going to not only be critical for all of us, but it is a gift waiting to be realized that will bring us hope, bring us trust, and bring us rest and peace while it's doing all of that. So enjoy this video from the Bible Project.
The number seven is a big deal in the Bible.
Yeah, in biblical Hebrew, the word seven is connected to the idea of fullness or completeness.
And that's something we all long for, but don't often experience. Instead, we find ourselves working endlessly, fighting back chaos with no real rest.
Yes. Now keep all that in mind as we turn to Genesis 1 in the Bible. It begins with darkness and disorder, but then God speaks to bring about light and order so that life can flourish.
And this happens over the course of 6 days.
Each day is marked with the phrase, there was evening and there was morning. But on the seventh day, something special happens.
God stops and rests.
Right. Creation is brought to its completion on the seventh day. And that phrase, there was evening and there was morning, it doesn't appear on day seven.
It's like a day with no end.
On the seventh day, God's presence fills his creation. The land provides for all of God's creatures, including humans, who are appointed to rule the world with God forever.
Kings and queens of the seventh day rest. I can get into that.
But the humans are deceived by a dark power, and they forfeit that rest. They're exiled into the wilderness, where they have to work as slaves to the land.
Until they die and return to the dust from which they came.
But God wants to restore humanity back to that seventh-day rest. So he chooses to give the family of Israel that experience of ultimate rest so they can share it with others.
But how? They're in Egypt, slaves to an oppressive empire who's grinding them into the dust.
So God confronts Egypt and he liberates the Israelites, taking them through the darkness and chaos on the way to the Promised Land.
Now, while they're on their way, they find themselves in the wilderness. It's easy to get lost, life is a struggle, they're not in the land of rest yet.
But while they're on the way, God invites them, in the wilderness, to start living as if they're in the Promised Land.
But how do you practice the future rest in the wilderness?
Well, God tells them that every seventh day, they are to stop their work, or in Hebrew, to Shabbat, so that they can rest and enjoy God's good world.
So take a whole day to live as if the ultimate rest has already come.
Yeah, this is the Sabbath, celebrated every week on the seventh day. But there's more. The Sabbath is just one of seven festivals that Israel practiced every year, each one anticipating that seventh day rest.
That is a lot of sevens.
And there's even more. Every 7 years, the Israelites were to liberate slaves, forgive debts, and let the land rest for a whole year. And then, every 7 times 7 years was the ultimate seventh day rest, called the Year of Jubilee. If anyone had lost their land or gone into debt, all was forgiven, everything restored.
Wow, so the Sabbath, these feasts, the Year of Jubilee, it's all pointing towards the hope of future rest.
Right. Now, when the Israelites went into the land, they forgot their God, and so they forfeited their chance for rest in the Promised Land.
They're exiled and enslaved again by an oppressive nation, led back into a world of chaos and disorder.
But Israel's prophets said that their exile would end one day, and that the ultimate jubilee of freedom and rest would come, but generations go by, and they're still waiting.
It's at this dark point in the story that Jesus appears, and he launches his public mission on a Sabbath day.
Yeah, he read aloud from the scroll of Isaiah, saying that it was time for all captives and slaves to be released because this was the year of the Lord's favor.
What did he mean, this is the year of the Lord's favor?
He was talking about the ultimate jubilee.
Also, Jesus is claiming that seventh-day rest would come through him.
Right, he said that he was the Lord of the Sabbath, and he confronted disorder and darkness in all of its forms, liberating people from sickness, sin, even from death itself.
Yet, Jesus was killed, so even his work was undone.
Well, it seemed that way. But notice, Jesus timed his death to take place at the end of the week. His body rested in a tomb during the Sabbath, and on the eighth day, he rose from the dead.
Oh, wait, the eighth day? You mean the first day of a new week.
Exactly. Jesus' resurrection was like the first day of a new creation, where God's light and life broke into the darkness.
So because of the resurrection, we have hope in God's promise of future rest. But we're not there yet. It's like we're still in the wilderness, where we experience struggle and pain.
But as we journey towards that ultimate seventh day, Jesus invites us to experience a taste of real rest now, by following him. Or in his words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest."
Well, I don't know about you, but the first time I watched that video and really saw the whole narrative of Sabbath come together, it was pretty mind-blowing. And taking the time after that to travel through Scripture and kind of work through confirming how that played out was just such an awakening. I think the big awakening for me that really shaped the way I thought about and still think about Sabbath now differently than how I thought before was this, that in this movement of Sabbath, in the initial creation of Sabbath, God resting on the seventh day, he was really resting on that seventh day to demonstrate this completeness that he intended in which we will now live forever. That's why the first thing that profoundly captured my attention is that on the seventh day, it does not say, "and there was morning and there was evening." It's almost as though it says, "and then there was the seventh day." And the seventh day was just awesome. And here's when it ended. Never, right? I mean, imagine God saying that to humanity. From now on, forever, we're going to live enjoying the fullness of creation and the fullness of who I am. That was God's intended created order. But you remember that Adam and Eve, really, as our ancestors, chose to pursue their own destiny and their own divinity by eating of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil that God told them not to eat from. And when they did, exactly what God said would happen happened. The virus of sin, yes, the virus of sin and its end, death, entered into the human story and the story of all creation. And from that point forward, we were lost to this seventh day completeness. And everything became hard and heavy. Yes, there was beauty in it because God is gracious even in the hard and the heavy. But our lives became lives of toil, not just lives of joy. And everything we did relationally, circumstantially, from a resource standpoint, came at great work and with great cost. So the people of God, the people of Israel, find themselves enslaved by another nation because humans were hostile toward one another because of sin and death. And then as God rescues them, they find themselves in the wilderness, in a place where they don't know where they're going and they don't know what the future holds. And in the wilderness, God gives them the law. And in the law, he gives them the command to Sabbath, to stop and cease on that seventh day, which is fascinating because it's almost like God is saying, when I created this rhythm, it was to demonstrate to you, in fact, not to demonstrate to you, to create for you an ongoing experience of freedom, of rest, of joy. But you lost that, and it's lost to you. But what I want you to begin to do now is I want you in a regular rhythm of your week to go back and live one day of the week as though that day exists, not because I want you to look backwards and regret that it doesn't, but because I want you to look forward and remember that it will again. This was the beginning of God saying, here is my redemptive story. And so as the people of Israel live in the rhythms of Sabbath, as you remember from the video, not only Sabbath rhythms on a weekly basis, but the feasts, the festivals, the year of Jubilee, all of the things that the video talked about, all started telling the singular story that God was going to redeem our story that was lost to us in the garden, so that the restoration of our story ultimately would be that we have eternal rest, eternal life, eternal freedom. And so that storyline begins to unfold over and over again. But so long goes by, and we start realizing we're not sure when it turns from this hopefulness of what is to come to an actual realizing of it. And then Jesus entered the planet. You remember in the video where they said that Jesus started his ministry on the Sabbath in Nazareth when he read? And when he read from Isaiah about the year of Jubilee, and he said, it's come, it's here, I'm here. It's like Jesus is saying, you know that whole entire structure that God put together for you to know that redemption is coming? You're looking at redemption. And then, as he walks out of that, what does he call himself? The Lord of the Sabbath. See, I think so often we thought of that as like, he is the enforcer of the Sabbath. Like, he makes sure you keep it. But that's not what he's saying at all. He's saying, do you understand? I am Lord over chaos and over death and over destruction, and I bring it to life and order and beauty and freedom. I bring Sabbath. That's what he was saying. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I will bring about the Sabbath. And then in his sacrifice that ultimately affects our eternal life, he chooses to go into the grave on the Sabbath and return on the eighth day as though to say, here is a new day, a new day. As the video so beautifully described, right? We live in a space like the people of God did before Jesus, where our experience of that new day is yet to come. And yet, because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we live in our current circumstances, in our wilderness, with a great sense of confidence in what God has promised for our future. In the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews writes some incredible stuff in Hebrews chapter 4. And in Hebrews chapter 4, he is writing about the necessity. He's sort of writing in a way to compel people to give their lives to Jesus, because it is in Jesus that they will have life. But what's interesting in chapter 4 is that the way he describes this compelling call to give our lives to Jesus, he describes it in terms of Sabbath. Listen to what he says here, starting in verse 4 of chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again, in this passage, he says, they shall not enter my rest. Now, that's dealing with the idea of if we don't come to know Jesus, then we don't have the ultimate expression of this rest. Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failing to enter because of disobedience, again, he appoints a certain day today, saying through David, as long afterwards, in the words already quoted. Listen now. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So you see, he's talking about come to know Jesus, right? But look what he does. Look what he does. He ties the coming to know Jesus to the full experience of Sabbath, showing us that this practice of Sabbathing is actually to constantly remind ourselves of the declaration of God that it's going to be okay because he has made the future okay. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. What is he meaning? If when Joshua took the people across into the promised land, that promised land was the ultimate rest, the ultimate seventh day experience, the ultimate back to creation, then God wouldn't need to bring about redemption through Jesus. He wouldn't need for them to continue to remember the Sabbath on a weekly basis because it will have already come. All of our Sabbathing is for us to remember what is coming. You see, it's like God saying this to us. It's not okay right now. I get it. Look around, man. It's not okay right now. We are in the wilderness of creation infected by sin. But it's going to be okay because I have made a way for it to be okay. And you need to live in a rhythm in the wilderness, like the people of old, that remind yourself of what I have promised so that you will live in peace during turmoil. I mean, doesn't that sound like the perfect reality for our current circumstances? That we would find spaces in our week, in our day, where we would cease from the anxiety and the pace and the reality of this new way of life, even though we have all this time, and we would stop and say, man, because I know Jesus, these circumstances, though they are big and large and scary, they are the ongoing declaration of the world that it's not okay. And God stands before them, confronts them, the circumstances, and says, but it's going to be okay. And when I stop and I remember that, I am walking into a beginning of Sabbathing. Listen to this. This is in the book of Psalms, Psalm 46. And I love the way that Psalm 46 unfolds in this particular passage. Listen to what it says. We're going to start in Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. So whatever is going on around us, we are not going to be afraid. Why? Because God is our refuge and strength. Okay, so we've got that. Now look at this. He goes on to describe all that God does for us. And then in verse 10 of Psalm 46, here's how he tells us to remember that God is our refuge and strength. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. See, this is what he's saying. When you stop and you are still, when you cease, when you Sabbath, when I Sabbath, it gives us opportunity to step out of the chaos of the world and step into the promise of God. That it's not okay now, but it will be okay then. And this is what brings us peace. Not a change of circumstance, but a change of focus. That's what Sabbathing is for. You know, one of my very favorite psalms is Psalm 63. And I want to read it to you. Because I think when I think about what it looks like for me this week to walk into spaces of ceasing, and I think, what am I going to do in those spaces? What are those spaces going to be about? This psalm is what came to mind first and foremost to me. I would challenge you as I am challenged. I would invite you as I am invited to consider the words I'm about to read and say, God, this week, I want this to be true of some of my moments. Of some of my moments, I want this mindset to be true, that I'm going into that moment with this mindset. Here it is, Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Man, in circumstances that there is no strength or hope to be found in, right? So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. Now listen to this. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich foods, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Folks, as we walk into this week, as we walk into the rest of our day or night, wherever you are watching this on this Sunday that we call our Sabbath day, right? Our remember day, our stop and focus on God day. May this travel with you into the rest of the week. I don't know what tomorrow holds, nor do you. I mean, we have experienced more than ever the changing realities minute by minute. And that's going to go on for the rest of our lives because we've felt it more profoundly because of this virus that's moving around. But it is really our ongoing reality, isn't it? And so as you walk into this next week and as you start dealing with each day as it comes, may I encourage you to begin to ask the question, what does it look like, God, for me to cease, to stop, to Sabbath? And what am I doing with Sabbath? When I stop, whether it be for a moment or for 30 minutes to sit and read or reflect on you, I am stopping to remember. I am stopping to feast on who you are, to feast on your promises, to feed my heart and mind with this. It's not okay now, but it's going to be okay then because you've made it okay. And so it's okay now because you are with me and you are my fortress. If we walk into this day, this week, with an attitude of Sabbath, we will walk in with great hope, with great joy, with great trust, and with great peace, with rest. And that's where we want to be. Throughout the rest of the week and ongoingly, we will continue this year to press into what it means to Sabbath and how we do it practically. Why? Because our theme for the year is what? To abide in every moment. And there is no abiding without a rhythm of Sabbathing and remembering. And so we will learn together what that looks like. Sabbath on, my friends, and let's find the trust that God has given us in this beautiful gift of Sabbathing.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my may I reach heaven. heaven's joys, O bright heaven's soul. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Would you still be my vision, O ruler of all?
Wow, what an incredible time to be able to worship together as a church family. And as we seek to abide in every moment, we want to focus on a spiritual discipline each and every month. And in the month of April, we're going to focus on the spiritual discipline of Sabbath. And there'll be some more information on that in the days to come. Mosaic, we want you to know that we're here to serve. So if you need prayer for anything, or you need to speak with a pastor or a leader, or if you need help, or if you want to help, we have some opportunities for you to connect with us through our website. Guys, we love you. We're praying for you. And we'll see you soon.